Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
It's the Brian Lehrer Show on WNYC. Thanks a lot for listening today. Good morning again, everybody. Let's go back to Typhoon Haiyan relief in the Philippines. There's an important message to get out this morning, and that is, if you want to help, don't get discouraged. There is an emerging narrative that the disaster aid is a disaster in itself. But let's talk about what is working, what's needed, and what comes next, and if you want to donate money, who you might actually donate money to have an impact. Plus, how the local community is responding. We'll hear from Jersey City's Filipino-American City Council President in a minute. But first, a few minutes with Julian Schopp, Director of Humanitarian Policy and Practice at InterAction, an alliance of NGOs and relief organizations around the world. They've served as a kind of clearinghouse for on-the-ground efforts in the Philippines. Julian, welcome to WNYC. Good morning.
Good morning to you.
So on your website, we see you have a list of organizations that meet your standards. What qualifies an organization, in your view, to provide trusted emergency relief in this instance?
Well, in this instance, I think as InterAction, we have standards in terms of financial accountability, in terms of technical accountability, making sure that we meet the minimum standards within the industry and the sector. To become a member, you need to basically go through a lot of checklists that make sure that you can be a trusted partner. Right now in the Philippines, we have 41 of our members responding as we speak.
And just a little sample of some of the groups on that 41-member list. You list the American Refugee Committee engaging with local partners to respond to immediate needs through the provision of emergency shelter kits and non-food items such as plastic sheeting, blankets, cooking utensils, and water containers. Habitat for Humanity teams assessing shelter needs in all affected areas. A team from the Humane Society International working with local and municipal agencies to identify the needs of agricultural and companion animals. So is it just a matter of finding a group that aligns with your particular values or your particular interests and giving to them?
I think that's, of course, the most important. There's also, I think, when emergencies are of this sheer scale, there is the importance of track record and size of the organizations responding. You want to make sure that they have the logistical capacity and the means to respond quickly and to have all the resources easily accessible. Another important point, and I think you'll talk to a councilman later in the show, is also the relationship with the local communities. Some of our members have been working in the Philippines for 10, 20 years with local communities. When disaster strikes, it's good to have those networks being able to be put into action.
How do you decide? How does a giver decide the impact of a Habitat versus a Doctors Without Borders versus the International Red Cross? I mean, I'm reluctant to even mention individual groups because, like you say, there are 41 on your list. There may be others that are not even on your list that are telling us that they're working there. In terms of the impact, if we want to give to one place?
It is a difficult question, and it's difficult for me because I represent all of them. So it's hard for me. I would go back to what I said to you earlier. Really look at their history in the country, and look at what they are reporting doing right now. And usually, in those instances, bigger is better. In other instances, smaller is better.
On the broader question of aid getting through, there's what I think is a great piece in Time magazine over the weekend by John Crowley, who writes, what happens when media talk up security issues is that aid agencies get worried about security of distribution, so they hold off until they have adequate security support. The velocity of distribution is dramatically slowed down. Scaremongering, he's referring to media scaremongering, undermines the relief effort. Are you seeing that happen?
We saw that potentially happen a little bit in the beginning, because in the first few days there were widespread reports of looting. In reality, what we've heard since then is there was instances of looting, but they were actually pretty limited. So in that sense, it's very possible that it actually made people think twice before sending their staff and supplies, and they could have probably gone a day earlier. But overall, I don't think it makes a huge difference.
So what can you tell us following the early reports that maybe all the people have been exposed to about aid not getting through or airports closed or parts of the country without fresh water? What do you see as the most pressing needs right now?
I think we've turned a corner. It takes, given the scale of the emergency, it took a while to get all the heavy logistics working, the airports, the roads, the debris, getting everything out of the way. Now it's functioning. So I do think that water is the initial most pressing emergency, in the sense that this is how disease in such disasters multiply. But now I think we need to look at shelter and assisting people in having shelter, again, very basic shelter, but to protect them from the rain and from the elements.
And so do the groups on your list coordinate? For instance, if the Humane Society were to find that it's flooded with donations, but that the need for their kind of work isn't as bad as, say, the need for emergency shelter, do they have a way of transferring funds or resources or pooling in any way in a situation like this, or don't independent nonprofits ever do that kind of thing?
I doubt that independent nonprofits do that kind of thing, especially when they have a very precise mandate, which means if I'm a donor to this organization, I will want my money to go towards that item as well as the country-specific country. What does happen in terms of coordination is you can have two organizations working on the same sectoral grounds, let's say water, since we've talked about it, in the same city. And what they'll do is they'll sit together and sit with the UN and with all the partners and say, okay, you will do this neighborhood, I will do this neighborhood, given the resources that we have. So there is no duplication. As for flexibility within sectors and between organizations, I think that's a little more difficult.
And are there any kinds of relief efforts, that is collection appeals for relief efforts, that in your opinion people should avoid? I know some folks who are wary of the text $10 campaigns, and I know, on the other hand, a lot of people who think that that's a complete game changer in terms of fostering engagement and how easy it is to get money into the relief stream.
It's difficult for me to say. I would just encourage, you know, as a representing Interaction, to go to our website and look at our members, and there's 41 of them that are responding right now.
All right. And
they're reputed organizations.
And we have a link to your stuff on our page, so folks, it's as easy as going to WNYC.org, click on Brian Lehrer Show, if you're in the habit of doing that, and we've got a link to the Julian Schopp's material from the Julian Schopp from the group Interaction, where Julian Schopp is director of humanitarian policy and practice. Interaction is an alliance of NGOs and relief organizations around the world. They've served as a clearinghouse for on-the-ground efforts in the Philippines, among many other things. Thank you for giving us a few minutes today.
Thank you for having me.
And we now welcome Rolando Lavaro, city councilman from Jersey City and the first Filipino-American to serve as council president. Councilman Lavaro, welcome to WNYC, and obviously I'm sorry it's under such terrible circumstances. Councilman, can you hear me? I think we may have a bad cell phone connection, but let's give it a shot for a minute and see. Can you describe the community in our area? I read that there are almost 20,000 Filipino-Americans in the Jersey City area. Is that the right number? How close-knit is the community? How does that compare to elsewhere in the country that has Filipino populations?
Yeah, there are possibly 20,000 Filipinos in Jersey City alone.
Okay, so this obviously is not working, technologically speaking. So we're going to try to get a better connection with the councilman. And in the meantime, listeners, any Filipino-Americans listening right now want to chime in, or anybody else with connections to the Philippines, on what you're hearing directly or indirectly about where the greatest need for relief is, 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. And let's take a call from Hamilton in Yonkers. Hamilton, you're on WNYC. Thank you for calling in.
Thank you very much for taking the call. And I appreciate your first guest's point of view that there are large organizations like the Red Cross and then the smaller ones, and there's a role for each of those. And AFYA Foundation, which is AFYA, is based in Yonkers and has a track record of distributing recovered medical supplies from New York area to the developing world, primarily in Africa and the Caribbean. That being said, they've got great experience in getting these overseas shipments done. They already got an air shipment out last week to the Philippines, and would love any and many of your very generous New York listeners to help out either with donations and or money. And again, that's AFYA, which is AFYA Foundation.
Okay, thank you very much. We appreciate that. This is WNYC FM HD and AM New York, WNJT FM 88.1 Trenton, WNJP 88.5 Sussex, WNJY 89.3 Netcong, and WNJO 90.3 Toms River. It's New York and New Jersey Public Radio. And let's try Councilman Lavaro again. Councilman, let's see if we have a better phone line. You were telling us about the community in the Jersey City area. Councilman? All right. Maybe not.
No?
Oh, one more time. Give it a shot.
Give it a shot? Okay. So, yes, in Jersey City, there are approximately approaching 20,000 Filipinos in Jersey City, over 3.5 million Filipinos throughout the entire country, and over 120,000 right here in the state of New Jersey.
And yay, now we can hear you loud and clear. So how's the community responding? I'm assuming the first step was just to try to make contact with friends and family. How difficult has that been, and what have the next steps been in terms of helping out?
Yeah, the immediate greatest challenge immediately after the typhoon was just getting in contact and trying to find out if your loved ones are safe. And so it's been devastating to large numbers of the Filipino-American community in Jersey City in trying to reach their families, with the communications having been down. But hearing more optimistic and positive news as communications are restored and people are able to trace and get a connection with their loved ones in the Philippines.
And what are the greatest areas of need for relief, in your opinion, for people who are not part of the community, who I presume have more direct ways of sending money in many cases? Are there particular organizations or particular topic areas of organizations where you would like to see the most money flowing right now, from what you could tell the need is?
You know, I think your previous guest from Interaction said it best. You know, there's a number of organizations that have been identified by both the government of the Philippines as well as USAID as being the best kind of qualified to do that. Mm-hmm. I'm not an expert in the area of humanitarian relief. We've been working with the American Red Cross over the years, and the city of Jersey City is to say. And we recently did some fundraising and raised about $25,000 and directed it to the American Red Cross in that regard. But there are a number of organizations that are all doing great humanitarian work and relief work over there.
Here's a question for you coming in from Charlie in Middletown, who says he was in the Peace Corps in the Philippines in 2009. Do I have that right, Charlie?
Yes, that's correct.
And what's your question?
I want to know how the guest feels about national Philippine agencies, grassroots volunteerism, such like the Wad Kalinga that I had worked with. They seemed like they really had a connection to who and in what locations needed the most help.
And is that to say, Charlie, that people here could try to find out what some of those organizations are and donate to them in terms of
absolutely
the relief
effort? They're international. They're a funnel for international aid, and they know how to get the money to the most affected areas.
Councilman?
Yeah, I mean, I'm familiar with groups like Gawad Kalinga, ANCOP USA, NAFCON USA. There's a number of organizations that are based directly in the Philippines that are doing the good work in that regard. As I think the gentleman from Julian from Interaction said, I mean, I'm not familiar with their direct capabilities and capacity given the scale and scope of work that needs to be done there. And again, you know, speaking on kind of fiscally responsibly about that, I just couldn't speak to whether or not, mm-hmm. From a fiscal perspective, whether or not the accountability on those sorts of issues.
So what are Filipino-Americans in the – and Charlie, thank you for your call and for throwing that idea out there and that name out there. How are people in the community helping mostly?
You know, it's been like Hurricane Sandy when it affected our area and the region here. The best thing it's been is just seeing community come together, both the Filipino community, American community here in Jersey City and throughout the region, but also the broader community. And people have been so generous and inspiring and coming together. I mean, just yesterday I was at a barber shop where they donated their proceeds from all their haircuts from the day, raised over $4,000, and had a U-Haul full of water and canned goods and clothes and other donations that are going to be shipped to the Philippines. I know the local churches are doing collections and special services to collect additional relief goods and dollars to send to the Philippines. Local schools for my area are the children are running relief programs and raising money, and I know our local school district is going to do a program where the students can dress down for the day and pay to kind of dress down, and the proceeds from that dress down day are going to go out to provide relief.
That's great. So then last question. How can other people in our area who are not in the Filipino-American community support the local Filipino-American community in these efforts? Any ways in particular?
Yeah, I mean, it's making those donations, you know, at the end of the day, as Interaction, I think, explained, is those financial contributions make a huge difference given how much distance there is to travel to get relief goods and things, and given the urgency of the response that's needed, monetary donations are still kind of the most effective way to address that. So if people can reach out to any of those organizations that are at the interaction.org site and be able to contribute in some way to those organizations, and then you know, we've been compiling on my Facebook page some different relief efforts that are going on and trying to publicize all of that so that people can give in whatever way that's possible for them.
And listeners, will add a link to that on our page as well as soon as we can get it up. So Rolando Lavaro, city councilman from Jersey City, the first Filipino-American to serve as council president. In fact, thank you very much for coming on, and good luck to everybody over there and anybody who you know might be affected.
Thank you, Brian.